Amen. Let's take our Bibles out this morning and open them to the book of Genesis, chapter 1. Open your Bibles to Genesis, chapter 1, first book in the Bible, the first chapter in the Bible. And this morning, we're going to preach part 6 of our Super Summer Sermon Series, and just say that 7 times quickly and you win the prize, Super Summer Sermon Series, on the fruit of the Spirit. And so the Spirit of God is at work in the child of God, producing the fruit of the Spirit. And this fruit, one fruit, comes in 9 different flavors or 9 parts. You don't get to pick and choose what parts you like or don't like. In other words, you can't say, well, I'll take love, but I'm not real cool on the kindness part, so I don't need that. But I'll take joy also, but goodness, not so sure about that. No, it's a package deal, okay? And they all work together, and they are all part of one thing that the Spirit of God is doing in the life of a child of God. And there's nothing that can stop the work of the Spirit in your life. Now, you can quench the Spirit, you can deny the Spirit, you can work against the Spirit, but when you give your life to Jesus Christ, He says, I'm going to set my Spirit to work within your life, and there's nothing that's going to stop it, ultimately. Now, if the Spirit of God is not at work in your life, then you need to go back and check your salvation, okay? Because if God's Spirit is not at work within you, then something's wrong. So let's go back and check our salvation. But if you're saved, you belong to Jesus, the Spirit of God is at work in your life, and He's going to keep on working till you reach perfection. And by the way, nobody in here has reached that point yet, so don't be looking at yourself, okay, thinking, okay, I've got it. No, you haven't. But you're going to get there, okay? Because He's going to continue until He gets there. So the 6th part of the fruit is goodness. So He says in Galatians chapter 5, verse 22 and 23, He says, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faith, or faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. And the no law means there's nothing that can stop the Spirit of God. Amen. May the Lord bless the reading and the hearing of His Word. Now, goodness. What exactly is that? So God says, what I'm going to do in your life is I'm going to produce goodness. And by the way, that doesn't just mean that you do good things, okay? So goodness is not simply doing good things, because even the most evil, worst, bad person in this world can do good things. Adolf Hitler probably did some good things, right? But he was not, you wouldn't characterize his life with goodness, okay? So goodness is not just doing good things. This goodness that He's talking about here is actually a state of being, or it is something that God produces within us that just looks good and tastes good. In fact, I'm struggling a little bit at this point because we have a problem with this word good, don't we? For a number of reasons. Number one, because the word good is relative. I mean, I might think something is good, and you might think it's bad. I mean, sometimes goodness is a matter of taste. This past week, Donna and I had the 2 most precious grandbabies in the history of the world living at our house, and the 4-year-old, Avery, is an eater. She will eat anything. You put something in front of her, she's going to stick it in her mouth and eat it. She loves everything. One thing that she really loves is watermelon. She also loves those little tomatoes, and she would eat those things like candy. She would rather have that than candy, as a matter of fact, but she loves watermelon. So we had a watermelon that had been purchased at the store, I think. It was actually given to us, but it looked like one of those store-bought melons. I cut that thing up the very first morning, and cut it up, put it in a bowl and everything, and I ate some because I love watermelon too, and that was the nastiest, tasteless, it was one of those seedless watermelons, had absolutely no taste whatsoever, none. And you know, I mean, I'm I'm used to, you know, the I remember when I was a kid, my granddaddy raised watermelons out, you know, in his garden. And man, those things were the best things in the world. This watermelon obviously was picked green, and it was red, but it was still green. It was crunchy. It just had no taste whatsoever. But she comes in, she's ready to eat. I put some of that watermelon in front of her. She takes one bite. She says, "Gee, Dad, this watermelon is so good. It is so good." And I said, "Sweetheart, if you think that's good, you've never really tasted good watermelon." But that's good, right? I mean, it is relative. Some people think something's good. Some people think something, the same thing, is not good. And this is a problem that we have with this word good, which is the root of goodness. But not just that, it's this word we throw around an awful lot. We use the word good for a lot of different things. For example, I've already said to many people this morning, good morning. I'm also going to say, have a good day. Tonight I might say, good night. Later on I might say, good job, good game, good luck. Good luck with that, good move, good hair day, good to know, good to go, good looking, looking good. And by the way, those two things don't mean the same, right? Good looking, looking good. The good life, good, clean, fun, good idea, good to see you. It's all good, feeling good, looks good to me. That's not good. So far, so good, too good to be true. A good time is had by all. You good with that? I'm good with that. You good and ready? Is that milk good? I feel good. For good measure, good riddance. It does my heart good. Your guess is as good as mine. This is for your own good. And if you got all that, good for you. I mean, you understand, we can use that word, attach it to almost anything, but what does it really mean? I mean, so what is good and what is goodness? And to really understand this, we need to go back, we need to find out how God defines it. And to that, I want to take you back to that first chapter of Genesis. Because right here in the very beginning, we're going to find exactly what good is. Now, let me just remind you of the story. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, right? Okay, so God spoke everything into being. And he did this, and the writer of Genesis kind of breaks it down in chapter 1 by days. And so he said, on the first day, God said, "Let there be light," right? And there was light. And then it says in the last part of verse 4, in fact, in verse 4, it says, "God saw that the light was good." Now, what does that mean? Does it mean it tasted good, or it was the right color of light? I mean, when God saw the light was good, what does he mean? What's interesting is, as you go on through the rest of the days, and all the days except the second day, God looks at everything that he makes in that day, and he says, it's good. For example, last part of verse 10. This is day 3. It says, God saw what he'd made and it was good. Last part of verse 12, it was good. Last part of verse 18, God saw that it was good. Last part of verse 21, God saw that it was good. And then the last part of verse 25, and God saw that it was good. And that was on the sixth day. He's making everything, and then he makes mankind in his own image. In the image of God created them, male and female created them. And when he had finished all of this, at the very end, verse 31, he says, God saw all that he had made, and it was very good. Now, what does it mean when God looked at everything and he saw that it was good? Well, really to understand this, you've got to go down into the next chapter, because now in chapter 2 of Genesis, God kind of breaks it down just a little bit. So at the beginning, it's going by days, and God creates something, and he says it's very good. And now chapter 2 kind of breaks it down a little bit more, and it says he creates man, and he gives us the details. He gets down into the dust, creates man, he forms him out of the dust of the ground, breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul, a living being, right? Now, up until this point, everything that God has made, good, 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 good. But look down in your Bibles at verse 18. It says, and this is chapter 2, it says, "Then the Lord God said, it is not good." Now, watch this. For the first time, God says something is not good. Everything else has been good. Now he's created man out of the dust of the ground, looks at him and says, "Wait a minute, that's not good." "What's not good, God?" Well, he says, "It's not good for man to be alone. So I'm going to make a helper as his complement." Now, Now, what basically God is saying is, the reason it's not good, because he's not complete yet. Now, at this point, I could tell an awful lot of jokes about how God created the woman and finished the man off, right? He completed him. But my point here is, and there's a lot of funny things to be said there, but my point is, it's not good because he wasn't complete yet. Something is good in God's eyes when it's complete. Ray Tompkinson, our first Sunday school teacher, when Donna and I were newly married, he used to have a saying. I loved it. He said, God don't make no junk. God don't make no junk. Whatever God makes is good because it's complete. He finishes it. It is able to do what it's intended to do. Okay? So something is good when it's complete. And when God then took the rib out of Adam and made Eve and now put them together, God looked at it and now his creation is complete, and God said it is very good. So this word good is not necessarily it's not good in a moral sense, it's good in a complete sense. Something is good when it is complete, when it is doing what it's intended to do, when there's nothing left to do. And so what God says is when I save you, I'm going to put my spirit to work in your life, and he is going to work goodness in you, or to produce goodness in you. In other words, what God is saying is, I'm going to complete you. I'm going to finish you. You're not done yet. You're not finished yet. There's still a lot to go with you. And so what I'm going to do is I'm going to set my spirit to work within you, and he's going to finish you. He's going to complete you. He's going to produce goodness. Now watch, this goodness can be goodness in a moral sense. That is, it comes out in good things. But it's more than that. It is goodness. It is a state of being. It is a state of being everything that God intended for you to be when he created you and when he saved you. This is goodness. And God says, my spirit is going to work in your life to produce goodness. Now, I want to make three observations about goodness, and then we'll just kind of wrap this sermon up. Okay, three observations, and the three things are this. Number one, everyone desires goodness. Everyone desires goodness. Now, I say that unequivocally, but I want to equivocate just a little bit. I'm not sure everybody desires goodness. I mean, when I was 16 years old and I was just starting to drive and by myself, and so I had a 70 Chevrolet pickup, I'd get in that pickup and I'd be ready to leave, and my mama would say, Gregory, be good. And then she would say, and have fun. And of course, as a 16-year-old, I'm thinking, I'm not sure I can do both of those at the same time, Mom. I'm not sure I can be good and have fun. I might be able to be good, but I'm not sure I can have fun doing it. I can have fun, but I'm not sure I can be good. You know, I'm kind of like that little boy who used to pray, God, make me good, but not too good, just good enough not to get a spanking, you know? And so that's kind of the way it is. Maybe kids, maybe 16-year-olds, but honestly, deep down within all of us, there is a desire, I think, to be good, to be known as a good person. I mean, we say this, well, you know, I may not be perfect, but, you know, I'm a good person, right? I mean, everybody wants to be known as a good person, and we might say something about, well, you know, Craig Bridgman, but he's a good person, you know? I mean, deep down, he's a good person. Why in the world do we want to be known as a good person? And the answer is because we're created in the image of God, and God is good. In fact, all through Scripture, it teaches this. Psalm 34:8, for example, and he uses kind of a euphemism here, taste and see, the Lord is good. In other words, just take a bite out of him. You want to know about the goodness of God? Just taste him. And you're going to find out that God is good. Psalm 106:1, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. Why? For his faithfulness, or his faithful love, and that's the Hebrew word kesed, his kesed, his grace, endures forever. So God is good. And because we're created in His image, honestly, I think deep down in our heart's desire, there's a desire within our heart, longing within our heart to be good. The problem is we really don't know what good is or how that works out. I mean, a couple of examples I'll never get out of my mind. I was visiting with a man one time who had committed adultery. He had cheated on his wife, and we were talking about this. I was trying to counsel him on this, and he said, "Well, Brother Greg, I did this, but you know, I'm still a good person. This doesn't make me a bad person, right?" And I'm like, okay, well, wait just a second. Good people don't cheat on their spouses, okay? I'll also never forget, and this happened when we were in Denison. We had a family that we part of our church and ministered to. They had an older son. He was 27 at this point, and he had been arrested for manufacturing methamphetamine. This was actually his third arrest for manufacturing and selling meth. He was going to be going to prison for a long time. And I visited with the family, the mother, heartbroken, I'll never forget. And she said, "But Brother Greg, I just know deep down he's a good boy. He's a good boy." And I had a hard time. I didn't really have the heart to say, well, ma'am, I'm sorry, but you know, he's not. He's a bad person, and he needs to be in prison. We want to be good. The problem is we don't really know exactly what that means. You know what's interesting about this is that God has told us exactly what it means to be good. Micah chapter 6, verse 8. And you need to find that in your Bibles. Micah is one of the minor prophets. And in chapter 6, verse 8, he says, "Mankind, he, that is God, has told you what is good. And what does the Lord require of you?" And he gives us three things. He says to act justly, to love faithfulness. King James says mercy. To act justly or love mercy or faithfulness, and to walk humbly with your God. Those three things. You want to be good? You want to call yourself good? You want to be known as good? Then those three things. First of all, you got to act with justice or act justly. That means that everything that you do, you are fair, you are honest, you treat everyone the same. You act in a just way, he says. Second thing, you've got to love faithfulness or mercy. And that means doing the right thing for the right reasons. That is, you can always be counted on to do those things. And then he says, and to walk humbly with your God. And to walk humbly with your God means to recognize and understand that God is God, that He rules and reigns, that you belong to Him. And so every time you come across what God has to say, your answer is, "Yes, Lord, you're God, I'm not." You walk humbly with God. Now, beloved, you can be good, call yourself good, if you'll just do those three things. Act justly, love faithfulness or mercy, and walk humbly with your God. That's all you got to do, and you'll be good. That's the first thing. Everybody wants to be good, but here's the second aspect of that. Or my second point here, and that is that no one achieves goodness. You want to be good? Fine, do those three things. The problem is no one acts justly, loves faithfulness, and walks humbly with their God 100% of the time. That doesn't mean that you might not do that some of the time. Certainly you might. You might do that most of the time. Because most people can be good some of the time, some people can be good most of the time, but the problem is no one can be good all the time. None of us are 100% consistent when it comes to any one of those three things. And quite honestly, when it comes down to it, most of us do not act with justice. We act out of self-interest. We don't love faithfulness unless we're faithful as long as it suits our purposes. We don't walk humbly with God. We have a tendency to put ourselves in the place of God and say, "I'm going to do what I want to do, and God, I want you to go along with it." That's the way we work. Now you might say, "Well, hold on, Brother Greg. I try to do that most of the time." Okay, fine. You do those three things most of the time. But you know what the standard is? There's a lot of people who say, well, you know what? I just try to live by the Sermon on the Mount. Okay, you want to live by the Sermon on the Mount? Great, because in the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus, you know, just kind of laid out for us. You know, this is what Christian living looks like, so just live this way, right? You do these things, and I've heard people say, I just try to, you know, live by the teachings of Jesus. You know what Jesus said according to the Sermon on the Mount? Okay, cool, great. Because you know what he said in the Sermon on the Mount? Matthew chapter 5, verse 48, be perfect, he says, therefore, as your heavenly Father is perfect. You know what the standard of goodness is? Perfection. That's it. Okay? So, you act justly, love mercy, walk humbly with your God 100% of the time. I mean, from the very beginning, 100% of the time, and then you can be called good. The problem is none of us have and none of us can. In fact, the Bible just states this over and over. Let me give you a couple of examples. Romans 3:12. All have turned away. All alike have become useless. There is no one who does what is good, not even one. And if you don't believe that's talking about you, you got a problem. Okay? Because that's talking about each one of us. Nobody does what is good. Nobody does what is right. In fact, if you don't think it's talking about you, what's interesting is the Apostle Paul actually wrote these words. He's actually quoting the Old Testament. But a couple of chapters later in Romans, he gets to chapter 7, and he starts talking about the things he wants to do and what he doesn't want to do, right and wrong and all that. And he says in Romans 7:18, I know that nothing good lives in me, that is, in my flesh. For the desire to do what is good is with me. Do you hear that? He said, I want to be good. Point one, remember, everybody wants to be good. He said, the desire is to do what is good is within me, but there's no ability to do it. In other words, he said, there is nothing good within me. And beloved, that statement is universal. There is nothing good in any of us. Ultimately, we are not good. And it starts very early. I got this firsthand this past week. I mentioned those two precious grandbabies that lived in our house this past week. And beloved, they are perfect. And I'd be the first one to tell you that they're just the best ones ever. But I tell you what, the devil lives within that little four-year-old in particular. Her name is Avery. And she is sweet and precious and everything else. But she has got a mean streak within her. In fact, as long as everything is going her way, she's cool. She's fine, man. It's great. But the minute things aren't quite going her way, she's going to let you know about it. You're going to hear about it. And she's going to tell you what you need to do to fix it so that it is going her way. Very first day, Monday morning, I guess it's Tuesday morning, after she had eaten her watermelon, like I said, she'll eat anything. And she ate a couple of eggs. She wanted more. I fixed her some more eggs. She devoured her food. Her sister, on the other hand, ate just a little bit of a piece of pancake, and we almost had to beat her to get that down her because she won't eat anything. But anyway, Avery got finished first. She said, I'm going to go get dressed. Okay, Avery, you go get dressed. 4 years old. She goes in. She comes out. She's wearing the prettiest little dress you have ever seen. It's beautiful. Her mama had packed for both of them, Avery's suitcase, Parker's suitcase. She came out wearing this pretty little dress. Her sister, 6 years old, looks at her, and I mean, she let out the biggest wail, the biggest scream. She said, "That's my dress!" And Avery had gone in, and she had gotten Parker's dress out. She wanted to wear Parker's dress. She didn't really care about it. What she wanted to do was she wanted to tweak her big sister, and she knew exactly how to do it. She knew how to manipulate everything to start World War III, and it happened right there. And man, we lost control. I mean, just like that. And that little girl, and Avery sitting over there, she knew, and she's just smiling. And I tell you what, we couldn't get that dress off that child. Her parents later said, she's manipulating you. 4 years old. Where does a four-year-old learn to manipulate a 50-something-year-old grandfather and grandmother? Well, boy, I tell you what, I don't know where she learned it, but she learned it good. And actually, my tendency is to think she was born with it, and it really is just a testament to what the Bible says in Jeremiah chapter 17, 9. The prophet said, the heart is more deceitful than anything else, and incurable, who can understand it? And that's my four-year-old. And I'll say again, she's the most precious thing in the world, but let me tell you what, good is not within her. The truth is, beloved, most of us are living in denial. We'd like to think ourselves as basically good. We want to be good. If somebody asks us, we're going to say, well, I'm a good person. But the truth is there's not any good within us. So what's the answer? Well, the answer is Jesus. Jesus is your goodness. You want to be good? Fine. You don't have the ability to achieve goodness, but Jesus is your goodness. In Mark chapter 10, a man came up to Jesus. In the Bible, he's known as the rich young ruler, and he asked Jesus a question, but he addressed him first as good teacher. He said, good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life? What must I do to have eternal life? Now, Jesus didn't answer that question right away. He ends up answering the question, but at first he says, well, why do you call me good? In fact, in Mark chapter 10, verse 18, he says, why do you call me good? There no one is good but one, and that's God. Now, I want you to notice that Jesus didn't say, I'm not good. He just asked, why are you calling me good? Basically, he was asking the question, are you calling me God? I mean, we know God is good. There's only one that is good. All the way through Scripture, it says God is good, good, good. He is a good, good Father. And he's the only one that's good. So you calling me good, or are you calling me God? Now, it turns out that Jesus is God. He is God in the flesh. And as God in the flesh, he is good. He was sinless. He acted justly, loved faithfulness and mercy. He walked humbly. And what happens is when you come to faith in Jesus Christ, then Jesus takes up residence in your life. And watch this. It's not your goodness, but it's his goodness that begins to be produced in you. So the Holy Spirit sets to work in your life. And what the Holy Spirit does is he lets that goodness, he begins to bring the goodness of Christ out in you. When you are good, it's just revealing the goodness of Jesus, because you really don't have the goodness in and of yourself living within you. It's Christ bringing it into your life. And beloved, this is the key. This is the key to goodness. Because often, you know, we might say about somebody, well, he's a good man, she's a good woman, you know, but what does it really mean, really, to be good? How does that work out again? Micah 6:8. In Acts chapter 11, there's a story about the early church, and they're helping one another. And there's a guy in the early church, his name is Barnabas. And you know, one of the few men in all the Bible, other than God the Father, he's called good. And in Acts chapter 11, verse 24, talking about Barnabas, it says, he was a good man, full of the Holy Spirit and faith. Now, beloved, don't separate those two things. It wasn't that he was a good man and full of the Holy Spirit and faith. He was a good man because he was full of the Holy Spirit and faith. How do you become a good person? You become a good person when Jesus lives within you. When the Spirit of God is at work within you. And the Spirit of God at work in a child of God is producing goodness. And what happens is that goodness comes out in good works. In Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9, you know, we're told that by grace are you saved through faith and not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, so that no one can boast. Okay, so good works don't save you. But that very next verse, Ephesians 2:10 says, but we are his creation, created in Christ Jesus for something. What? Good works. We are his creation, created in Christ Jesus for good works. Now notice, we're not created in Christ Jesus by good works. Good works don't save you. But when you're saved and Jesus takes up residence in your life, now the good works begin to come out, and this is why you were created in the first place. This is why he saved you. In fact, He goes on to say, God prepared ahead of time that we should walk in them. In other words, God had this purpose and plan all along. He created us this way because he was going to live out the life of Christ through us, and he was going to produce all of this goodness within us that comes out of good work. This is God's plan, and when that happens, then he is completing you, and that is the goodness of God. So goodness doesn't earn your salvation, but goodness is the evidence of your salvation. You're not saved by works. You're saved for works. Now let me just try to wrap all this up. When you look at a tree and you're not sure what it is, you start looking for fruit on that tree. If it's a fruit tree, you're going to see it. Like if you come in my backyard, I got some trees back there, and on some you're going to see some pecans, and you're going to say, that's a pecan tree because it's producing pecans. I got a peach tree back there. Johnny Todd planted for me, and it's not the time for peaches now, but it had peaches on it this year. For the first time, you can look at that and say, man, that's a peach tree. It's got peaches on it. Got a lemon tree. It's got some lemons on it. You're going to say, well, that's a lemon tree, because you know a tree by its fruit, right? What the Bible says is this is the way Christ works within us. You know a Christian by the fruit. Now, that's not the fruit that makes the tree. It's the tree that makes the fruit. You're not saved by good works. When you become a child of God, the Spirit of God works within you. And what happens is this becomes the testimony of Christ in you. Back in the Sermon on the Mount again in Matthew chapter 5, verse 16, Jesus said, in the same way, let your light so shine before men so that they may see your, look, good works and give glory to your Father in heaven. See, when you belong to Jesus and he's producing, the Spirit of God is producing the goodness of Christ in your life, and it comes out in good things, and people look at you and say, well, that's what Jesus looks like. That's why one of the ugliest things in the world is somebody who calls themselves a Christian and yet acts like the world, acts with bad things. Basically, that's what we call a hypocrite, claim to be one thing or something else. If my peach tree produced oranges, it would be a hypocrite. It's got to produce peaches, and it's natural. It's going to do it. Child of God, the Spirit of God is at work in your life, producing the fruit of the Spirit. And one of the ways that fruit's going to come out is good works. Good works don't save you. Being saved produces the good works, and it shines the light of Jesus to a world that is desperate to see it. Father, would you help us today as we receive your word and respond to it? God, make us good. We confess we have no goodness within us apart from Jesus. But Lord, our prayer today is that as your Spirit works, completing the work that you began in each one of us, Lord, let our light shine that a world might know that Jesus lives and reigns. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.